Hello, everybody, and welcome. Thank you for joining us for this service of worship. As is our practice, we are having a quick whip around the different parishes to hear what's happening in our regular blether. And first of all, over to Sheila Simpson in Kemnay.
Welcome to everybody, and good morning on this Harvest Festival Sunday. Thank you for having me here to update you on what's happening in Kemnay in Joshua's absence. We are enjoying having children at the service once more on Sundays. After a brief children's time, they go across to the church centre for more teaching and fun. And on the subject of teaching, we've restarted our Monday evening Bible study. We're looking at the Gospel of Mark. For some years now, we've been contributing to Blythewood Care Shoebox Appeal, and we started this once more. These boxes filled with toiletries and other fun items and books and toys are distributed to children in Eastern Europe, as well as adults of all ages. Our church centre is now open once more. We can let rooms with suitable safety precautions. And of course, Loaves and Fishes is up and running once more for soup and a sandwich or cuppa and a fine piece. And of course, volunteers are always welcome.
That's super. Thank you so much, Sheila. And we move next to Tose. Tell us what you've been learning this week, Tose.
Thank you, Inkindo. I've been learning a lot, especially considering that this Sunday we're talking about harvest and Thanksgiving. I had a chance also to preach, and I am learning how giving and stewardship is being done in the Church of Scotland. I had a chance as well to share how giving and stewardship is being done in Zimbabwe, especially in the Reformed Church in Zimbabwe, where I come from.
That's fantastic, Tose, and it was very challenging to hear how stewardship happens over in Zimbabwe. Thank you for that. Our second Sheila this morning is Sheila Mitchell over at Eft in Midmar. Tell us what's happening with you guys.
Well, good morning, and it's good to be joining you in worship this morning. Just to mention very quickly that Harvest Festival for Eft and Midmar will be on the 24th, so that's next week, and we'll be having another collection for our local food banks that we support in this area. So any donations next Sunday will be most welcome. And then looking forwards from there, another couple of weeks on the first Sunday in November, we'll be back usual time at 10:15, and the service that Sunday will be a service of Holy Communion. And again, we're looking forward very much to being back in the building on the first Sunday of every month, and also to welcoming anybody that would like to join us for communion.
Thank you, Sheila. Ewan in Clooney and Monymusk, how are things going with you guys?
Hello, wherever you're watching this and whenever you're watching it, it's great to be able to speak to you. We've got very little to note. We still have our midweek service online on a Wednesday, and that's looking through the Book of Romans. But Mainly Music is having a couple of weeks break for the school holidays, and we'll resume after the school holidays. And we're all worshipping together at Clooney just now. So that's all the news from Clooney and Monymusk, short and sweet, just like myself.
Of course you are, Ewan. And lastly, but not least, Stella Gould over at Blairduff Chapel of Geary.
Good morning to all. We'll be sharing this service in our church in Blairduff, in Chapel of Geary this Sunday. So we'll be having all the elements of the joint service as we're without a minister. I just want to note the sad death of one of our elders, Kath Middleton, who had served for over 30 years, and she died at the weekend. Her service is on Tuesday, and there'll be further information out in the press. And we look forward to a baptism next week in Blairduff with the Reverend John Mack. But that's all the news from the North End.
Thank you so much, Stella. And finally, news from Kintore, advance notice for the start of November. When COP26 comes to Glasgow, it will also be coming to Kintore in a smaller way, but on Saturday the 6th, on Sunday the 7th, and on Wednesday the 10th of November, Sustainable Kintore, which is one of our local projects, will be hosting an open church. We'll be inviting many different sustainable small businesses to come and showcase what they do, sustainable charities, and other local projects. These will all be on display at the church, and everyone's welcome to come along to participate in the activities and to learn more about climate change and how it's impacting the world around us. So that's at Kintore Church on Saturday the 6th, Sunday the 7th, and Wednesday the 10th. And so we return to worship. Let's worship God together.
Thank you. I'd like to read a poem this morning for our call to worship called Harvest by John Osborne. John is known as the Somerset farmer, a simple man who wrote some poems, but he raised many thousands of pounds for his church and charities from the publication of his work. The Harvest. Each season has its beauty as the days and weeks unfold, but the season of the harvest is a heaven to behold. The marvels of the orchard, when fruit adorns each boughs, transformed from springtime's blossom, and yet we know not how. Clothed are all the gardens with fruit and flowers untold, while cornfields grace both hill and vale and paints them all with gold. The sower may strive and work for days with precision preparing the sod. He may kill all the weeds, he may sow all the seeds, but the growth is the hand of God. With the dew of the morning he moistens the seed as it's breaking the soil. Then with sunshine and rain, the growth to maintain, he rewards all the labour and toil. 'Tis worth our while to ponder the wonder of it all, how just a little acorn becomes an oak so tall, how from a single grain of seed there comes an ear of corn, how when that grain has seemed to die, 'tis then new life is born. For so it is with nature, and each springtime it's portrayed, for in silence does she rise again when all has seemed decayed. And still in silence, oft unseen, new growth and fruit appear, the miracle of harvest for yet another year. Yes, man can never comprehend or estimate the worth of all the blessings he receives from the harvest of the earth. Let us pray. God, thank you for harvests of plenty, small seeds multiplying to feed many, trees blossoming into abundant fruit, sweet tomatoes ripening on the vine. God, thank you for harvests overflowing, enough for our own needs and an abundance to share, enough to feed the hungry and provide for the destitute, enough to reach out with generosity and care. God, thank you for seeds planted in our hearts, seeds of righteousness yielding goodness and mercy, seeds of love yielding justice and peace, seeds of compassion yielding healing and renewal. God, thank you for the bread of heaven, Christ our Saviour planted in our lives, Christ our Redeemer growing in our hearts, Christ your Son making us one with you. God, thank you for the gift of life, like water poured on thirsty ground, spring and autumn rains that revive and bring life, a river that flows from your heart and out into the world you love. Amen. Now let's sing that traditional harvest hymn, We Plough the Fields and Scatter.
Oh,
We are going to get our reading today from the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 10 to 12, then verse 18 to 24. Again, we'll read from Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to verse 19. I shall commence reading. Consecrate the fifth year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. Each of you is to return to your family property and your own clan. The 50th year shall be a jubilee for you. Do not sow and do not reap what grows of itself, or harvest the untended vines. For it is a jubilee, and it is to be holy for you. Eat only what is taken directly from the fields. Verse 18. Follow my decrees, be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and live there safely. You may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. Why will you plant during the eighth year? You will eat from the old crop and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes in. The land must not be sold permanently, because the land is mine, and you reside in my land as foreigners and strangers. Throughout the land that you hold a possession, as a possession, you must provide for the redemption of the land. Then we go to Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. May the Lord richly bless the reading of his word. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This poem is entitled The Kingdom by R.S. Thomas. It's a long way off, but inside it there are quite different things going on. Festivals at which the poor man is king and the consumptive is healed. Mirrors in which the blind look at themselves and love looks at them back. And industry is for mending the bent bones and the minds fractured by life. It's a long way, but to get there takes no time, and admission is free, if you will purge yourself of desire and present yourself with your need only and the simple offering of your faith, green as a leaf. Earlier this year, our family was swept up in the excitement about Clarkson's Farm. I don't know if you had the chance to see it, but it was just delightful. Jeremy Clarkson, as crazy as he is, knows about as much about farming as I do. And it was a delight watching him fumble about, struggling to farm. And what came out of that show was the reminder of just how hard farming can be. Disaster after disaster follows Clarkson. Many disasters, admittedly, of his own making, to be fair. But it's because farming is hard. It's really hard. Yet in the end, the harvest, such as it was, came. And so it is for farmers. Farmers struggle. Oh my goodness, they struggle. I have lived in farming communities. I have walked with farmers on their farm, and it is hard to be a farmer. And yet, God provides a harvest at the end of it. It's not always a great harvest, but it's a harvest. And the next year again, there is a harvest. And the year after that, there is a harvest. And the further that you're removed from farming, the further that you're taken away from the land, and the less you have connection with farmers, the more you begin to just take it for granted that there will be a harvest again, and there will be food in the supermarkets, and there will be food on your table. It will all just keep ticking over year by year. And then in the seventh year, according to Leviticus 25, the instructions are for you to just stop. Just stop. Just take a break. And yes, of course, nowadays that is itself is something that just rolls over, because we have methods of crop rotation and things like that are far advanced from what they did in the biblical year times. But the implication in the biblical time was that you would just stop and let the land and the people rest. Let nature, let the world rest. And in the 49th or the 50th year, after 50 years, declare a year of Jubilee where everything gets reset to the beginning. Everything goes back to the way it was. And it's fascinating in Leviticus 25 how those principles are spoken about the Jubilee. What are the principles that are being explained there? I'm not going to go into the full detail of the chapter, but let's talk about what comes out of that reading. The first thing that comes out of the reading is the idea that ownership is not an important part of the Jubilee, or rather it's redefined. Ownership is redefined by Jubilee. In the year of Jubilee, you discover that actually two things cannot be owned, and therefore two things cannot be sold. The one is the life of a human being that cannot be bought or sold, and the second is the land itself. When people are sold into slavery within Israel, the implication is all that they are selling is their labor for the following few years until the Jubilee, at which time they are set free again. And when land is sold by one person to another, all that can be bought and sold are the number of crops until the next Jubilee, at which point the land reverts to the historical owners of the land. The implication being that these are free things. Human beings are free entities. The land is free. It belongs only to the Lord, and we are simply tenants on it. And the harvests we receive from it are gifts. Just as the work we receive from people, the labor of people's hand is something freely given by them out of the freedom that God gives them as human beings. People and the land are free. And at the end of the Jubilee year, or at the time of the Jubilee year, everything resets to the beginning. And if you thought you weren't free, you're reminded you are free. And if you thought the land belonged to you, you're reminded that the land belongs to God. It's worth carrying on reading a bit further into chapter 26. It's a long chapter, and that's why we haven't included it in the readings. But I want to tell you what happens in chapter 26, because it really underpins the concept that God has of our obedience to him and our enjoyment of the prosperity of the land. To begin with, in chapter 26, God says to the people that if you keep my commandments, if you keep my ordinances and my commands, if you obey me, things will go well and there are a set of blessings. And just to be absolutely clear as to what the commands are, because in chapter 25 that we read, the commands are clearly that we treat people as free agents. We treat people with care. We care especially for the poor and the weak and the aliens in the land. We look after them because we too were once aliens in the land. And secondly, we care for the land itself. We give it its chance to rest. We don't exploit it in an unsustainable way. We care for it because ultimately we are only tenants in stewardship of the land for God. So if we do that, if we obey those commands, if we look after the world in which we live, if we care for the poor amongst whom we live, if we feed those who are hungry, clothe those who are naked, set free those who suffer under all sorts of oppression, then God says there will be, we will be blessed with rain and fertility of the land. There will be peace in the land. There will be victory over our enemies. There will be prosperity for the people, and God's presence will be amongst the people. And the next part in 26 tells us what happens if we don't do it. And you can guess what it is. It's going to be curses. If you do not observe the commandments, if you do not obey me, says God, there will be consequences. And they read like punishments, but if you think about it, the kinds of things that happen when we don't take care of the neediest amongst us, when we don't take care of everybody, when we don't take care of the land on which we live, there certain consequences emerge. Whether or not it's inflicted by God, the reality is these things happen. And in a world suffering under all sorts of consequences of climate change and global warming, I think we understand that these are just consequences with which we live. Famine and defeat, says Leviticus 26. Drought and poor harvests. Wild animals that will roam the land and kill your children and livestock. War, pestilence, and famine, and ultimately God's abandonment of the people to exile. And we know from the history of Israel that that's exactly what happened. The people were exiled to Babylon ultimately. And it's very interesting. In chapter 26, God says to them, and if you go off into exile, understand what will happen to the land. The land will finally have its Sabbath. The land will have the rest that you denied it by exploiting it. When we are ripped from the land by our own foolishness and disobedience, the land will carry on because God is faithful to his creation. And the land will have its Sabbath. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end with cursing. The stories with God never end with cursing. There is a voice of hope at the end, and it says this: But if they confess their sins, if the people recognize their sins, and what then follows in chapter 26 is a statement of God's faithfulness and his promised restoration of the land and the people. Well, that's all Old Testament stuff. It's a long, long time ago. What effect does it have on us? Well, Luke chapter 4, Jesus stands up in Nazareth. And he explains what his mission in the world is. And he stands up and he speaks the language of Jubilee. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release of the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." And here's the Jubilee message, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Friends, Jesus set us free. He set us free from our sin and our stupidity. He set us free from our rancor and our fighting with one another and our destructive habits. He sets us free because he wants a new people and he wants a new world. Jesus declares a Sabbath for us, says to us that we are free and that God is faithful. So you and I, in whatever way we've experienced it, and we have experienced it, we have received the good news of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee has come for us. Maybe not this year, maybe in special moments in our lives that we've encountered it. Maybe from the very moment we were born into a world where we were loved and appreciated. Or maybe specifically in this year that has passed, as we've been able to survive the pandemic and come out the other side and been been able to hear God's voice saying, I am still faithful to you. The Jubilee has come for us. Will we, as we celebrate harvest this year, will we also declare a year of Jubilee for those who are oppressed and struggling, for those who are weak and vulnerable, for those who are actually hungry, for those who are crying out around the world for justice? Will we declare a year of Jubilee for the world itself, the creation in which God has placed us as stewards and as tenants, a creation which belongs ultimately to Him? Amen.
Shall we now join our hearts and our minds once again in prayer? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks for all that you have done for us, for life and love that you gave us. Make us mindful of your gifts that we may be content and grateful, giving our love and lives to you all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, so wise and powerful that none can stand against you, we praise you. You are stronger than the earthquakes, storms, and raging seas. Open our eyes to an awareness of your power. You know the secrets of the atom and the vastness of outer space. Open our minds to the wisdom of your creativity. Your love is so deep that you know the innermost secrets of all your children. Open our hearts to you as friend. Powerful and loving God, you bring all things under your rule. All monarchs and presidents, all prime ministers and ministers and officers of state owe their allegiance to you. So we ask to see your glory, a glory shown supremely in your Son, to whom you have given all authority, and the glory that can be reflected in the lives of all whom Jesus calls. Lord God, you are our strength and our salvation. We proclaim and adore your glorious name through Jesus Christ our Lord. God of eternal truth and goodness, keep us alert to the least hint of your will, that we may welcome all truth, however it comes. Bless every good deed, whoever does it, and receive new thoughts with grace from whichever source they spring, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Bless us, O God, with the vision of your being and beauty, that in the strength of it we may be neither hasty nor slothful in our work. And give us grace to be patient with others as you are patient with us, that we may gently bear with their faults while we strive at all times to root out our own. Bless your church around the world and here in the parishes of our area group. Enable us together to shine as beacons of light, love, hope, and expectation. Quicken the hearts of all who profess you as Lord, and enable us to see your vision for us, and help us to work together to fulfill that for you. Bless us, we ask, continually, as we struggle to look beyond what's always been, and try to work with neighbours whom we hope one day to call friends. Bless the work of the presbytery and its committees, those in position of leadership and influence. Bless all your congregations of the faithful, whatever they may be. And especially we pray for those without ministers of their own at this time, who are learning to cope and adapt to be a church in vacancy. Bless those who wield political power in this and every land. Give them strength and commitment in what they believe, and may they strive for the good of all. Bless our leaders in Westminster and Holyrood, in local councils, and those who serve us through the activities in our local communities. To all who have influence over others, we ask your blessing and your guidance. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray for those who lie in hospital or care home or at home, who are sick or sad, lonely, or hurting, and we remember those who look after them and worry over them. Be with them all, that they may find healing, peace, and strength to cope. And we remember those who have lost loved ones and those who are alone. Comfort them in their sadness and ease their broken and sad hearts. For these and all our prayers we offer in the name of Jesus, and using the words we are comfortable with, we repeat together the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever. Amen.
Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you now and forever. Amen.